And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, oh my gosh, we have so much to dig into. Brian is back, people.
Back from England.
That's all?
That's all. I'm just back, and I'm worse than ever.
Yeah. We're going to talk Hardenfreude.
Ooh.
Are you happy now?
Mm.
Don't screw up, Joe.
Well.
But not the Joe that you're thinking of, another Joe.
As advertised.
Coming up here on The Glue Guys. To the Glue Guys, this is Mike here, say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com, The Athletic, get yourself on the paywall at theathletic.com/glueguys, a subsidiary of the New York Times Company. Brian?
Michael.
What's up, dude?
Did you hear my hello? It was fit for Westminster Abbey. It was fit for the Abbey. I was in England. I spontaneously went to England last week.
You were still there, from according to our YouTube.
If you're looking at the bowels of the Abbey. In the Abbey, where the choir boys do their thang. But yeah, I was there. I was there big time. But anyways, who cares? Nobody cares.
We are so glad to be back. Brian and I haven't potted. I feel like we haven't potted in forever, Brian.
I know.
So much has happened.
So much to catch up on.
To begin with, I mean, we're going to talk sort of, there's elements of who won the Nets Sixers trade. Like, we're to rehash that debate because it feels like
a... We're ready to final thoughts on that.
Nailed in the coffin there on that one.
Good.
I have a segment called "Do You Feel Better About the Nets?"
Oh,
Brian had some things that he wanted to clean up from the Sean Marks press conference that he had heard in it and thought it was interesting. And I'm going to personally dress down Josiah. But first, Brian, I feel like off the top, this is the first time that we have potted together where we can address the single moment that happened online for you and I.
The largest controversy we've ever been involved in, bar none.
So I don't know if people know this. So when I am the person that uploads our podcasts to netsdaily.com. So I type in, I make a little cute little headline to Glue Guys, colon, and then something. I write a little description. And I have the lucky benefit of whenever we release the episode, it is tweeted out from the Nets Daily account. So some people think that's net income doing all that. Sometimes it's for us, it's always me who is writing that little thing.
I actually didn't know that. That's how out to lunch I've been. But yeah, go on, continue.
That's how little involvement you've had in that sector of our business for so very, very long.
Yeah.
So we had an episode. It was a fun, it was a mailbag episode. It was a good time. Everyone should listen to it. It was the most recent mailbag episode. And in it, Matt Parker, really bestie of the show, above a friend of your
BFF,
bestie of the show,
big time
BFF. He had a great mailbag question, which is essentially, hey, we should be rooting for James Harden, you know, in the playoffs. Should we be doing that? And Brian went into it and I was like, that was a really convincing argument. And then I agreed and added my own little flavor and spice on top of that, a little za'atar, if you will.
But can we actually just put the context on this? Like,
yeah.
So rooting for James Harden in the playoffs only because it benefits the Nets long term, not because we have any special affinity towards not only just James Harden,
you
but any
love James Harden.
I personally like him a little bit, but obviously he's done bad things. I'm not rooting for him to win because I like him or the Sixers. I could give an F, Mike. What I'm trying to say is it's beneficial for the Nets long term, and that is the context that has always been missing from all of this. But anyways, continue.
So again, getting back to where the tweet comes from. So we've released the episode. I don't even really remember. I can click the link on what the episode actually was called. It said it was the episode itself was called Why You Should Root for James Harden to Win the Championship, which is a little softer than the tweet that went out from Nets Daily. The tweet that went out from Nets Daily is, if you are a real Nets fan, you should be rooting for James Harden. Remember, this was two weeks ago.
And all that context that I had just mentioned, not really there.
It's Twitter, baby. Pretty much immediately, there were, and this is a lot, 49 quote tweets and many more comments.
Mike, if I said you got ratioed, would you know what that meant?
I know what it means, and I've experienced it.
Yeah, you got ratioed.
In both examples. People were furious. And Brian and I were talking, and to even pull back the curtain a little bit. So this episode went out on May 7th at 4:22. My son was in the hospital.
You know, it's the kind of excuse I expect, Mike. I expect this from like Larry David. But for you to go out and lie about your son being in the hospital to get away from this tweet. Just kidding. It's actually true. His son was in the hospital. How's he doing? Is he okay?
He's totally fine. He's great. He had a non-COVID virus that completely crushed him.
Yeah.
But he's fine now. He's 100% fine. But he was it. So when this episode was released on Nets Daily and that tweet came out, I had slept on the smallest chair in the hospital that night and had been getting very little sleep that whole week before. And so all this activity was happening. People were commenting. And I talked, you know, Brian and I, we bat phoned it to each other. We immediately called each other. We talked about what should we do? And Brian talked me down from. I feel like you talked me down from, rightly so. I was going to tweet out, hey guys, sorry, bad tweet. Son's in the hospital. I'll try to do better. And that felt like that would have been too, that would not have been very nice.
Would have been a lot. Would have been a lot for everyone to, I mean, it's already been a challenging subject and we didn't want to add too much, too many externalities.
So the tweet went out and we got a little bit in the comments, but we kind of let it die down. But ever since the Sixers series has continued to go on, we will continue to get tweets saying, look at your boy Harden. Yeah. Still misinterpreted.
And the real issue is you would go into it and be like, guys, if you listen to the episode, it's too much to type out here. But if you listen to the episode, the reason is it's because it benefits the Nets long term. And then hilariously, the take is always, you think I'm going to listen to your stupid episode after this terrible take? And it's like, but the episode explains. And it was just a chicken or the egg conversation over the. Although I did have a truly 2 hour long back and forth with one guy, and bless his heart, I think we got through to him. But I just kind of wanted to see it. Like if I actually stuck with one Twitter engagement, just like deep in the replies, would I be able to convert? And you know, I did it once, one out of one. That's it. I'm done with it.
You've saved a life, man. you've absolutely saved a life.
Yeah.
And again, the take, as Brian has said before, and this is like the funny thing is, so now we are talking about this after the Sixers have been knocked out of the playoffs.
It's moot.
They were embarrassed, completely embarrassed by the Heat by the end of that series. And so much of the conversation around the team is why we wanted the Sixers to win a championship, which is it would have forced them to give James Harden a 5-year max contract extension, which seems like it's now not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are, even though I will hold my breath in waiting for James Harden to take a discount of any kind. James Harden feels like the kind of guy that would rather play in Sacramento for the max than play in Philly for less than the max. But hey, it would have locked in Doc Rivers as the coach, which, bless you,
I see.
Which I would be very happy locking in Doc Rivers as a coach. James Harden would have gotten a max extension and had weighed an extra 50 pounds. Going into next season, which I would have loved to have seen.
It's because it would have made them worse and us better. So if you guys can't get that, if you can't wrap your tiny head, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Anyways, that's enough of that. We did it, right?
Before we put to bed the Sixers,
lay them to rest.
Segment Harden-Freud. Proud of this, Harden-Freud. So it seems like Doc Rivers is coming back for the 76ers. James Harden has become... He is completely burnt and the brunt, both Wordle words, burnt and brunt. Thank you.
Nice. Well done.
If you did back to back, it would be very dumb. That would be bad Wordle strategy.
Or maybe really burnt. Good. Just hiding in. Oh, for as a strat on one. I thought
yeah,
the, for
yeah,
because
you want to differentiate. Yeah,
I get it.
Come
I
on. Zach Lowe on his pod was trying to rationalize what type of performance James Harden just had by saying maybe those hammies are really bad still. If James Harden, Brian, if James Harden's hammies
yeah.
were really the worst lower body injury since Achilles was felled by an arrow on his tendon, or since Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump got his legs blown off in Nam.
Yeah.
Or since James Caan got his legs bashed in by Kathy Bates in Misery.
Yeah.
Those would be the top three.
Those are bad ones.
Top four.
Yeah.
That's the Mount Rushmore of leg injuries.
How about
James Harden's hammies, Lieutenant Dan's no legs, Achilles is Achilles, and James Caan's legs.
How about the scene where Marv steps on the nail in Home Alone 1?
That bad. Is right
it's
up there.
It's a bad one. It's a bad
that, one. Did that not haunt you for...
Forever. I mean, if you weren't traumatized by that a little bit, what kind of childhood did you have?
I stepped on like a thumbtack once, and I felt very connected to Marv from Home Alone. I was like, good. I know. I Shout understand out. His plight.
Shout out to Marv. Yeah, it's a bad one. But did you see the Amari Stoudemire exit interview, by the way?
It was wow, pretty juicy.
Was juicy you, stuff on
what
there.
What stood out
well,
to you?
What stood out to me was that, I mean, so...
So here, let's back it up. Some yeah, people may okay, not know. Okay. Amari Stoudemire is no longer coaching with the Brooklyn Nets. He went on ESPN. It seems like he's trying to become a commentator of some kind, which all respects to Amari. That's maybe what he should do. Maybe it would be a great life. And so he was on like First Take or, you know, a bunch of different shows. And he was very honest, I felt like,
yeah.
about what was going on. What stood out to you?
Well, I think as we think about this tug of war and all the different kind of the power, the Game of Thrones that is your Brooklyn Nets of 2022, sure. it's important to know that like people, there is no, it's all, or actually better yet, better than Game of Thrones, let's call it Unforgiven. You know, you ever seen the movie Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman?
But I understand.
Anyways, there's no good guys or bad guys in it. Everyone's a shade of gray. And as we look through all the power players in the Nets, I think about that. It's no one's, you know, truly innocent or benevolent, and nobody's truly evil or bad or whatever. It's just shades of gray everywhere you look. But the one thing I will say about Amari Stoudemire is that on the way out, he was like, James Harden does not take care of his body, and it is catching up with him. See, you don't hear a lot of guys go, you know, that incisive on in the professional athleticism business, unless it's like kind of an emergency situation. So to some extent, I was like, okay, well, Amari, I really got to trust you on this one. Like, I bet that he's...
I do trust you, 100%.
I bet that you, that it is as bad as advertised the way that James Harden takes care of himself. So I feel kind of good about that.
Here's a couple of things that he said. So talking about like Kyrie not being there. Yeah, of course it hurt us being able to build chemistry as a group. He's only playing away games depending which city it is. He can't play in New York. Therefore, we had different lineups, different matchups depending on game schedule. So it made it difficult for us coaches to figure out who's going to play in spite of Kyrie. So it is difficult for us to manage. He talked more and more about total chemistry. He said he didn't think the Kyrie absence hurt that didn't hurt between James Harden and his teammates, but he couldn't build chemistry as a total group. And, you know, we've all talked about that before. Let me ask you this, okay? Before we go on to Do You Feel Better About the Nets, we are now, how many? We're like 3 months out from the James Harden, Ben Simmons trade. Let me lay out the case for you, okay? There's been a lot of discussion since the 76ers have been bounced from the playoffs that, like, this is the first major trade in NBA history where both teams lost. I think this is how I want to evaluate it. We're going to continually check in on how the trade has worked out for both teams, it's our podcast. That's what we're going to do. Who is the most valuable player from that trade?
Okay. Well, see, this is tricky. This is tricky because it's like long-term, short-term. Like Ben Simmons is not playing and who knows what it's going to look like short-term. Long-term, the better player. Short term, and it's crazy to say this just because he's the only one out of the two players that are playing. It's James Harden, but he looked really gross just now. So, I don't know. Do you feel that way? That's how I feel. I feel long term, Ben Simmons is the better option. Short term, it's James Harden, I guess.
So, I'm going to be sneaky. It's Seth Curry. I think if this, I think the 76ers would have rather had Seth Curry in that series than James Harden.
Whoa.
I think indubitably they would have rather had Seth Curry in that series.
Okay.
Considering, like, let's say, let's live in this world where Curry's healthy. I mean, he just had ankle surgery and he was not healthy in the playoffs. He still was, he contributed a bit.
Oh, we're, living in alternate universes where people are healthy.
Did you just see Doctor Strange?
I actually did on the plane home. On the plane home.
Doctor Strange 2 was on the plane?
No. I mean, the Spider-Man with Doctor Strange. I don't know. I can't keep up with all this shit.
Yeah.
You see how grizzly my voice gets when I
talk. Yeah. You're so mad. I think Seth Curry is the most valuable player in the trade. So the Nets got the best player in the trade. Let me ask you this, Brian. This is a big question, so I really want you to think about it.
Okay.
Would you rather have the next 4 years of Ben Simmons or the next 5 years of James Harden?
Yeah, 4 years of Ben Simmons. I don't think it's controversial. I don't think anyone would disagree with that. Despite the major question marks, there isn't, you know what it'll take? There's certainties around James Harden that are worse than the question marks around Ben Simmons. That's the problem.
Ooh, I like that.
What do you think
that's
about
good.
That?
Man, because
let's get a poster. Harden was, put a poster?
Harden had one good game against the Heat. It was, he had that one big fourth quarter where he kind of blew up. The rest of them, he was his normal like 5-for-16, completely uninvolved at times in the game. There was a really great story on, I think it was on, what's it called? True Hoop, mm-hmm. Henry Abbott's site, where Henry Abbott wrote very beautifully about sort of, he distilled the James Harden problem for the 76ers, which is there was like a play where Embiid's running on the floor. He's hurt, but he's running on the floor trying to get a bucket. There's some guy with him. It was a 2-on-1 break. That guy misses the layup. Embiid's getting boxed out from all angles. And James Harden's still on the other side of the floor, hasn't moved an inch because he just assumes, like, no one's running back. And the, you know, whoever for the Heat run back, they get the rebound, they score a bucket, and everyone's happy in Miami. James Harden was like a negative, such a negative in that series. There's like, that's a problem with Harden where he's becoming this point in his career where he's fallen into a negative at various times of the game when he used to be, of course, like the best offensive player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the mystery. It's hard for me. We talk about Simmons versus Harden. It's very hard for me to, like, I can't wrap my arms around what Ben Simmons is or could be on this team anymore.
Okay.
The ramp. Mm-hmm. The ramp that we took, the ramp to nowhere, you know, the ramp from him getting traded to Brooklyn, to the press conference, to the leaks, to Woj and Shams, to the Steve Nash press conferences where he's asked about Ben Simmons doing one-on-nothing workouts and whether he'll play X amount of games, whatever. Our anticipation for he's going to play in Philly. Oh, no, he shows up on the sidelines, but his back hurts so much that he can't even fly to other cities.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff. His thing is a mental thing. No, it's a physical thing. He gets surgery. I can't, like, wrap my mind around what he is. I it doesn't exist. Right. It's like Avatar 2. I know that there's a trailer now, but in my mind, I can't imagine that James Cameron is going to be able to squeeze another 4 movies out of
movies.
Avatar. Oh, he's made, I think he's like made 3 movies already, and he's just
Avatar
tinkering
movies?
With them. Yeah, the number 2 is coming out this Christmas time.
Oh my gosh.
A third's coming out 2 Christmases from now, and a fourth is coming out Flag Day 29.
Where do you get, do you have a subscription to like the Hollywood Reporter or something?
I read Deadline and Hollywood Reporter are two of my favorite.
You get them in the mail? You get hard copies?
Dude, I'm a mogul, baby. You know? I get the sheets.
The first 4 hours of your morning just reading through your periodicals. Okay.
Smoking a cigarette on my porch, staring off at the geese. What am I, Tony Soprano? No, ducks. So let me ask you this, Brian.
Sure.
Another question.
Please.
Okay. If the Nets had Harden for this playoff run, and let's imagine the Harden being discontented, tryptophaned out.
We have to have a surly post-Thanksgiving dinner Harden on this. Yeah. We can't have last year's Harden.
To protest him remaining with the team, right? Because he was obviously unhappy. But I think he would have played if he had remained with the team, particularly with Kyrie and KD being full-time players together. But he in protest, he would eat a Thanksgiving dinner every night.
Yeah.
If the Nets had James Harden instead of a nothing, would they have beaten the Celtics in that series?
I mean, all the conditions you're placing on this Harden are, you know.
Do you want to take the tryptophan off the table?
I want to take him mainlining tryptophan out of the equation. If it was the Harden.
Is there a pill form of tryptophan?
That's a good question. Has anybody?
I mean, I feel great after Thanksgiving dinner. I would love to take it.
I don't
it.
Know that I've talked about this on the pod. I think I've talked about it with you. But when I got COVID, I completely lost all my taste buds. And because of that, I was crushing my diet because there's just no reason to eat bad food because you just feel more tired. So I was like, is there a diet pill that just like nukes your taste buds?
Is there a COVID pill? Is that what you're calling
for? I'm not saying a COVID pill. Just, you know, anything else that makes you lose your sense of taste so that you don't have to eat bad food.
If there was a COVID pill that gave you COVID. Would Kyrie take that? But he wouldn't.
let's not. Okay, so he's not chopping up lines of tryptophan anymore, and he's just normal Harden from last year. I think that they get out of that Celtics series. I got to be honest. If it's last year, I mean, we did it last year. What are we talking about here? I mean, I know it was a different team, yada yada yada, and this like this Celtics team is all huffing their own farts because they beat up on a Milwaukee team that
they
was
deserved to huff their farts.
They've been beating up on a Milwaukee team that's missing their second best player, and Giannis is, you know, trying to do what KD did for us last year. So in a lot of ways, I'm happy that they, you know, took a dump on Giannis and the Bucks a little bit, but because there was no real winner coming out of that in either way if you're a real Nets fan, like if you're a real Nets fan. But so, anyways, I do actually think. Well, I'll put it this way: I think we win a friggin' game, Mike. Can we say that? Can we win one game?
I think they win one game. Let's do this. Coming back, I'm going to ask you, do you feel better about the Nets? And then it's going to link back to that Celtics series.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Okay, so since we last podded, the world has become a dramatically different place, particularly the world of the NBA. The Phoenix Suns, the best team in the regular season, had one of the most disgraceful Game 7s from a legitimate contender in recent NBA history. The Sixers completely Amber Heard'd.
Ooh. I know that
against
name.
The Heat.
Yeah.
You know, they shit the bed. Meanwhile.
Sorry. Wait, no. Actually, they called it a grouchy. You know, it took the grouch. That's in the.
A bit of grouchy.
Took a bit of a grouchy.
Oh, she had a bit of grouchy. That's what
Johnny.
Photo.
That's what Johnny Depp called it in a text or something. He took a grouchy on the.
Oh, to. To Paul like Bettany?
Yeah.
He's.
Or maybe Paul Bettany's getting. I think it was Paul to him, actually.
So many stray and so many stray bullets in his text thread with Johnny Depp. Paul Bettany seems like the friend who's trying to laugh at what Johnny's saying, but also bro, chill out. But anyways, all right. And also, in another series, the Bucks and the Celtics won 7 games. The Bucks had the refs in their pockets, and the Bucks still, it wasn't even close. I watched that entire Game 7 Bucks-Celtics, not a really close game. The Nets, meanwhile, had 4 extremely close to pretty close games against the Celtics, who now look like to be the best team in the East. So now that we've gone basically a week and a half post, the Nets being embarrassed, 2 weeks, whatever it's been, do you feel better about the Nets, seeing how things played out for the Suns and the Sixers and what happened in that Bucks-Celtics series? Or do you feel, the Nets are so far away from being able to compete against the intensity that we saw Bucks-Celtics or even at times Sixers Heat? Do you feel better?
I actually feel, if I really search my heart, I don't feel that good. I don't feel that good about, I feel like there's a lot of issues surrounding this team that do not feel resolved and do not feel easily resolved. We didn't talk about the Sean Marks press conference, and maybe this is a good time to do it because, obvious shots fired towards Kyrie about people committing to the culture, to the team, da da da. I'm wondering if this isn't I don't know what that means, a commitment outside of something that's a literal addendum to the extension that he's about to sign, where he agrees to play a certain amount of games. Because, what is a commit? Wipe your ass with a, I'm committing to the team. Write that on a napkin with a smiley face. So I don't know what that means, especially given the situation where over 3 years he's played, less than half the games. So it's a bit of a situation, isn't it? but another thing, weirdly, how about Heat and the Mavericks, maybe? Isn't it weird that they always find a way to match up in the finals, potentially? I mean, not getting ahead of it. Yeah.
You are the longer-running Nets fan than I. You were a Nets fan before I knew you. You arrived at Syracuse wearing your Ken. The first – people don't know this. When Brian and I lived on the same floor freshman year at Syracuse, Brian, the first day – most people, they have an outfit, right? They like to – everyone wants to look good. It's the first day of school. You show up. You got your bags. Brian was wearing a Kenyon Martin jersey. Yeah. He set the tone.
Yeah.
People, don't mess with that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an enforcer.
Kmart
of Kimball Hall.
Yeah. I was mean mugging everybody, too. I don't know. It was a real chip on my shoulder.
You had a mouth guard in,
yeah,
and you were wearing
yeah
a headband.
Yeah.
So very odd look, but I respected it, and I knew that we would be friends. Meanwhile, I was wearing a Jean Leon jersey and dancing around a chair.
You were wearing your Aeropostale the same way you always are.
That's true. That's so true. stop. I feel so seen and scared. Busted. Now I'm scared. So what we're talking about, do we feel better about the Nets? I and Sean Marks in tandem. I want to feel better. I think statistically I should feel better. Hey, these Nets Celtics games were so close, right? And there were times in every game, particularly in the first 2 games, the Nets had the lead or whatever at the very close to the end. And of course they farted it up. They Amber Heard it.
Yeah.
But I like you, it's like I watched those games, and even though they were close, there are some foundational issues with this team that need to be figured out. Part of the foundation, as unreliable as Kyrie or Irving can be, it is still Kyrie and Kevin Durant. So it's a pretty high floor.
Yeah.
There are role players that should be good. Joe Harris coming back, Seth Curry, blah, blah, blah. They actually have an ability to make a trade. They could trade Joe Harris' contract plus a first round pick and get a very, very good player, or they keep Joe Harris and trade whatever. Do a sign and trade. Bruce Brown, do a sign and trade. Nick Claxton. They have a lot of different flexible options. But what I actually watched then in the next round of Bucks Celtics, it just doesn't. The Nets would have been really out of place in that intense series. They just aren't quite built for that moment. So I don't feel better about the Nets.
It's also, you know, I can't tell if it's like the Bucks and the Celtics are uniquely sort of like rough around the edges, shitty to watch, gross teams who I hate. And so maybe because of that, it's like when people say like college basketball is better because they play harder on defense. It's like, no, it's really not that way. It's really you just don't know what you're talking about. Obviously, you know, they have a few good offensive players, but our entire team, or, you know, at least last year, you know, the last year's team was, you know, a couple of offensive Ferraris, Mike, like we've often talked about. And, you know, those two teams, they have a, you know, the Celtics have a Ferrari now in Jason Tatum. There's no denying it. That guy is good. And he's I am envious that they have him currently in the way that he's playing. Giannis is, I don't know what to call it. It's like a, I don't know. He's like a Hummer or something. It's like expensive and
bad for the environment.
And bad for the environment. And yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is a really big fan of it.
Yeah. And but it's not like it's not nice to watch. It's not like great to watch. Anyways, like they have like a weirder offense. Both of them have like, you know, they're sort of known for defense mindedness, whatever. I think just watching those two teams who are playing slugfest, you know, against each other makes it seem really intense and you know, it is. And so that checks out. But if it were like, I'll be honest, I didn't watch much of the Heat Sixers stuff because I was traveling and I caught little bits of it here and there. And also I hate James Harden, would never watch a second of them play basketball in the Sixers, but I can't imagine it had the same intensity. I can't. And I don't think that, that's the universal truth for all, you know, Eastern Conference semifinalists.
I'm so excited about a range of different shows that we have coming up, but so I'm going to hit a thing that's going to sound off-season-y focused, but please don't believe that this is the only time we're going to talk about these subjects, okay? The Nets have to re-sign Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton.
Wow.
At any cost.
Whoa.
Who this falls to is Joe Tsai. I don't know if you watched the Mavericks. I've already forgotten who they just beat.
The Suns.
Spencer Dinwiddie has at times have been unplayable, but he scored 30 points in a game 7 and they blew out, you know, the Suns, the Mavericks did. Jason Kidd, obviously coaching. I don't know how to grapple with Jason Kidd being like the best coach in basketball right now. We all know the Nets could have just paid Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, they legally under the cap, not under the cap, but legally via the CBA, could have paid whatever they wanted to Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie's contract is not good, okay? It was like, now it's at $18 million a year. He's had a rough road of recovery, had a couple of good games with the Wizards, and then he tanked the whole rest of the season. They immediately traded him.
Acrimoniously.
But he's been doing, he's off and on okay.
Yeah.
But he is at least a valuable piece on a team that is lacking in depth and sort of that type of athleticism like the Nets are. Bruce Brown, the Nets have, I believe, their bird rights. I believe Brian Lewis from the New York Post wrote a really good story about Bruce Brown's free agency. I think it was Brian Lewis. And Adrian Wojnarowski has reported that Bruce Brown could be around a $12 million a year player. Okay? It's a lot of money. Nick Claxton, the Nets are, he's a restricted free agent. The Nets can accept any offer that another team puts in front of Nick Claxton. I think these are going to be about a taxpayer mid-level, so like $6 million a year type guy. Mm-hmm. Short contract for him. This all falls to Joe Tsai.
Okay.
Joe, let me talk to you, baby. Okay?
Come on. Come in for the real thing, Joe. Get in close.
Mama Llama Alibama.
Beautiful.
Mama Llama's a book. Very popular book. Children's
books. You know, it's crazy. I thought you just were saying like gibberish, and so Mama, I'm glad Llama, that you cleared that up. Because I was like, we're gonna have to cut this out. Mike, Joe, a stroke.
Joe, I know that if you sign Bruce Brown for $12 million a year and Nick Claxton for $6 million a year, you times those numbers by 4, and that is your luxury tax payment. I understand. I get it. I know what the numbers say. I know that when you bought this team, you thought that you were gonna make money. That was a silly thought. Shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't have gone into this thinking you were going to make money. Every owner who owns the Nets loses a lot of money. There's many reasons why. TV contract not that great. We don't have a huge fan base. It's expensive to be in Brooklyn just regardless. that one time is expensive in New Jersey, you're not going to make money. Okay. What are you doing?
Sorry, I was going to say it's expensive to me to be me, the Eric Jane song. I was going to start singing that. Have you watched
that? That would have been very helpful. What song?
It's expensive to be me. You know that song? It's from Beverly Erica Hills. Jane, no, you know the Beverly Hills Housewives? You're not watching?
I'm not a Housewives guy anymore.
You've really trimmed the fat. Not just below
that's
deck.
That's what I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I don't watch any junk, right?
Yeah.
But, Joe, if you don't pay Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton, you are killing this team's flexibility going forward. Because all the Nets will have on their roster in terms of salaries are rookies, minimums, the mid-level exception, which they can do every year, but it's for not that much money, and a bunch of other contenders can do it too. So the market's very competitive for taxpayer mid-level players. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, he has just had back surgery. We have no clue if he is going to exist as a basketball player going forward. Kyrie Irving will find a reason why to be unreliable, right? And he may not be here. Who knows? And Kevin Durant, he's talking about smoking pot with David Letterman. You know, him and Davey.
Well, let's not sell him short. He's talking about his strategic investment in weed startups, and then, you know, by virtue of, come on, he's a stoner.
We're on drugs,
the
baby.
Guy's deployed millions of dollars of capital in
smoking tobacco.
Smoking weed on the internet.
Joe, you have to sign Bruce Brown, Nick Claxton, if only just to continue to build out this bench to a serious degree, and then to use them as trade chips down the road. Whenever they are tradable, those contracts will be very tradable for a lot of teams. You need to sign them. They need to be on this roster, because if they let Bruce Brown, Nick Claxton go, like I talked about, rookies, minimums, Patty Mills, and then the big three. And that team is never going to compete against the Milwaukee Bucks, who have like a lot of good role players now. The Celtics, who've built out, I mean, Grant Williams becoming a killer in the postseason. Could not have seen that coming. I don't know if Bruce Brown's worth $12 million a year. You may just have to do it. You just may have to pay him. Nick Claxton, I think, will be worth whatever amount of money. And if anything, I think that it should be aggressive in giving Claxton an extension, because what's going to happen is if they do an RFA deal they let another team come in, offer a 1+1 for Claxton, a 1-year deal with a player option or whatever, then the Nets get back into the situation where they have no control with Nick Claxton's future. You want many years on Nick Claxton's future. Now, if I'm Nick Claxton's agent, I would advise against taking a long-term deal, because I think that you're going to become a $10, $15 million guy in 2 years. But if you're the Nets, be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. Be aggressive. Give him, you know, 4 years, $8 million per. Be aggressive. Anyways,
that, Joe?
Joe Tsai, I understand it's a lot of money, but you don't do this to make money. This isn't a money-making proposition.
You do this as a gift to us. That's what you do.
You do this for the 20,000 fans that barely fit into Barclays and the 30,000 at home watching on Yes Network, and the millions that listen to the show.
Beautiful.
Wow.
We did it.
What an episode.
I think we had I had a good time. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Check us out on Twitter, @BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com. Hey, Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. We need them when I have them. They're fantastic.
Now that I'm back from England, I'll also be back in the Discord. So hop in there, discord.gg/glueguys. You know, perfect. That's fun. Yeah. And what else?
Can I ask you a quick thing?
Yeah,
how do you feel that Kyrie's like, he has a Discord? Like, that doesn't, does it?
I've been in his Discord and it's weird. It's weird. I mean, it's, I was, when it first came out, there was people in the voice chats, and I got to tell you, I was old by a wide marge, by a country mile, Mike. I was the oldest guy poking around there just to see what they were about. It was a bunch of 12-year-olds. So, you know, whatever, fans. That's the Kyrie fan age range, I guess, for Discord. And I'm the weird guy. Now you're looking at me like I'm the weird guy. Let's get out of here before I dox myself. All right, bye, everybody. Say goodbye, Mike.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.